Daf is daf test. So we got to the two dots and three lines down. The Gemara says chutz me al yedei ger toshav. So the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said that if a yid kills another yid, so the results in galus. But if he kills a ger toshav, so then the yid does not get galus, and a ger toshav only gets galus if he kills another ger toshav. The Gemara wants to know now. Alma first concludes that we see a ger toshav visit over kachavim hu. The very fact that if a yid kills a goy and doesn't get galus tells us that we classify a ger toshav as a regular goy, even though he's taken upon himself to keep all shabbat mitzvah b'nei noach, his status remains the same. Ema seifa, look at the seifa. The Mishnah says ger toshav golai de ger toshav. That if a ger toshav kills another ger toshav, then he does get galus. Sounds like he is not considered a regular goy. The fact that he's getting such a concept as of galus. So Rav Kahana says no. Lo kasha, kam beger toshav shaharag ger toshav, kam beger toshav shaharag yisrael. If a ger toshav kills another ger toshav, so he gets galus. But if a ger toshav kills a yid, so then he doesn't get galus. We should look at Rashi. Rashi explains lo kasha around eight narrow lines down. He says lo kasha ger toshav shaharag ger toshav gola. Kedigatani behedya. The Mishnah explicitly writes that if a ger toshav kills another ger toshav, he gets galus. The ratio, which indicates that ger toshav doesn't get galus, it's kishaharag es yisrael. When he kills a yid, ain't a gola delo sagile begalus. Since the aver is considered more severe when he kills a yisrael, so then the ger toshav does not deserve galus. He needs a higher level of kapar. Gemara now says, Ika the Rami Kra Hadadeh. Some present the Shaila more of a question to Psukim. One Pasuk says, Ksiv Livnei Yisrael Lager Ulatoshav Bisocham Tiena Sheish Harim. It should be for Jews, it should be for Ger, it should be for Ger Toshav. They should all get the six cities of Ari Mikla. Uksiv, and another Pasuk says, Fayu Lachem Harim Lemikla. Lachem v'lo lager. Sounds like only for you, only to Bnei Yisrael, do they have the rights of the Ari Miklat, but not to anybody else. Sounds like we're excluding a ger toshav. So how do you deal with this stira? So Amar Rav Kahana l'kasha, kan be ger toshav shahar gisrael. When a ger toshav kills a yid, so then he doesn't get. That's a pasuk lachem. Only you get Ari Miklat, they don't get Ari Miklat. But the other pasuk, that even a ger toshav is included, that's referring to kan be ger toshav shahar ger toshav, in which case he would get kalas. Asks the Gemara now, Ur Minhi, Lefikach Ger Va'Obed Kochavim Shehargu Neragin. Therefore, if a Ger, or a Ger Toshev, it probably should be, a Ger Toshev, and a Goy, or a Goy, that kill, they themselves get killed. So, this is referring to, if you look at Rashi, just to explain the context here. See Rashi, the word Lefikach. It says Rashi, Lefikach, Asheva Mitzos Shenitztavu Bnei Noach Kai. It's referring to the seven mitzvahs that are commanded to Bnei Noach to keep. But Kaimalan, and we learn as Harasan Zui Misasam, the fact that they're warned, even though it doesn't say explicitly that they get a Misa, if a Ben Noach were to violate any of the Sheva mitzvahs, they would get Misa. Ulefikach, therefore, Getoshev, Ovid Kachavim Shehargu, Neharagin. Because one of the seven mitzvahs, of course, Ritzicha, they're not allowed to murder. So for them murdering, their punishment is they're going to get killed themselves. So that's the context of this statement. So now the statement, what are we learning from this statement? So the Gemara says again, Ruminhi, it says, Lefikach ger ve'ovid kochavim shahargu, that they kill, they murder. Their punishment is that they get nerug and they get killed. Katani ger dumya de'ovid kochavim. This Mishnah, or this Braisa, couples together a ger similar to a goy. How so? Ma ovid kochavim lo shnak dekatel bar minei lo shnak dekatel lav bar minei. Nerag. If a goy kills, doesn't make a difference whether he kills a goy like himself or a Yisrael who's not like himself. Either way, the goy gets killed. So af ger, so to a ger toshav. Again, ger toshav is different than a ger tzedek, just to be clear. Ger tzedek is a real ger. A ger toshav is still a goy who's taken upon himself not to worship before the Zohar and to keep other mitzvahs. So af ger, so to a ger toshav, lo shnad dekatel bar minei, doesn't make a difference if he kills another ger toshav. Lo shnad dekatel dela bar minei, doesn't make a difference even if he kills someone who's not like him, meaning a Yisrael. Nerag, he gets killed either way. So what we see from here, that the ger toshav never gets galus, even if he kills his same type. Even if he kills a ger toshav just like himself, according to this comparison, a ger toshav gets killed and doesn't get galus, but above we said he does get galus. So the Gemara says no. Amar Rav Chista Lokasher, now we're making a little bit more sophisticated now. There's not a stira. Kan shehargu derech yirida, kan shehargu derech aliyah. Depends on the way he killed accidentally. We saw earlier last week if it's a downwards motion versus an upwards motion. Downwards motion is more like galus, more shogeg, and upwards motion is more mazed. So if it's done derech yirida, the Gemara explains, if it's done in a downward motion, the Yisrael gali, so just like if Yisrael were to kill someone b'shogeg on a derech yirida, he would be gali, he would get galus. So ihunami sagi leba galus. So too, a getoshev who were to kill in a downward thrust, it's enough for him, he gets galus, is enough of a kapar. But derech aliyah, the Yisrael patev, Yisrael kills in a upwards thrust, so Yisrael doesn't get galus, he's patev from galus. So the reason why he's patev from galus, according to at least this stage, he needs more kapar than galus. Galus is not going to provide him what he needs. It's higher than galus. So ger toshav gets killed, nerak, he needs a higher punishment to get his kapara. So while we give the Yisrael a free pass, he doesn't get killed, we do make the ger toshav does get killed. So we see from all this, though, so the way everything works out now is as follows. A ger toshav who kills another ger toshav, it depends how he kills him. If he kills him derech yirida, that's when he gets galus. If he kills another ger toshav derech aliyah, that's when he gets killed, and that's what this brice of lefikach is talking about above. Okay. So Gemara says, wait a second. Shogeg. For sure, shogeg.
It's all shogeg.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's shogeg, it gets killed.
Correct. Gemara says, wait a second. Gemara asks this basically what you're bothered by. Amalei Rav, Rav says, V'lav kavachomer, who isn't a kavachomer? Ma derech yirida di Yisrael gali, ihunami sagi lei begalus. That he's the same exact thing as a Yisrael, that in the derech yirida case of shogeg, they both get galus. So derech aliyah di Yisrael pater, ihu nerag? It's not quite a kavachomer. But if we're comparing a Yisrael to a ger toshav to Yisrael, they should have the same halachas. The Yisrael is off the hook for killing derech aliyah, so too the ger toshav should be off the hook for killing derech aliyah. So Gemara says, no, it's not a case of shogeg derech aliyah. It's el amar rava b'omer mutter. We're talking about a case of omer mutter, where the guy thinks it's mutter to kill. He thought what he was doing was something mutter. So if it's mutter, so that's why he's getting killed. The ger toshav, if he killed in a way of shogeg, so then he would get, it was derech yirida, he would get galus. Derech aliyah, he would be pater like Yisrael. We're talking about a case where the ger toshav killed the omer mutter, he thought it was mutter, which is karav lemezid, that's why he's getting killed. So Amalei Abai says, we saw this machlokes already once, maybe two times already. He says, Abai says, Omer Mutter is anasu. Omer Mutter is anasu. The guy thinks his mutter, that's anas. He wasn't taught properly. He wasn't uneducated. That's considered anas. And when a person's anas, what does the Gemara tell us? Anas rachmana patre. When a person is onas, whether he's forced to do something or just a lack of knowledge could be onas also, he's pater from punishment. So he wouldn't get punished if he thought his mutter to kill someone. So what's the case again where the ger toshav would get killed? So Amar Lei, he says, no, Shani Omer, Rava says, I hold differently than you. Shani Omer, Omer Mutter is actually Karv Lemezid. The guy should have known. It's an obvious thing that murder is Aser. V'azdu L'tamayu, both Rava and Abaye that argue about the status of Omer Mutter go according to the general Shita, which is as follows, D'itamar. Kisavar behem of v'nimsa adam, if they think it's an animal, they're shooting an animal, but turns out it's a person. Or to Kanani, v'nimsa ger, toshav. So what happens? Rav Amar Chayiv, you're Chayiv. Because Omer Mutter, Karv Lemezid. You thought what you were doing was something that was Davar Mutter. Turns out it wasn't Davar Mutter. So that's considered Karv Lemezid. Rav Chista Omer Pater, because Omer Mutter, Anusu. He thinks it's considered Onus. So this Machlokis, now you have to figure out the Shitas, it's really Rav and Abaye. So we're probably above, it probably should be Rav Chista instead of Abaye, or vice versa. By the way, at least Rav is going according to his general Shita, that Omer Mutter is Karv Lemezid, and therefore Chayv. Rav asks the question now, Eisive. Eisive Rav al Rav Chista. Rav asks Rav Chista, Hanech. So we have to know the pasuk here. So look at the pasuk on the side, those who have it. The pasuk says, Vayavo elokim el Avimelech, Bechalom halayla, when Avimelech took Sarah away. So he came to her, rather, he came to Avimelech in the dream. Vayom Allah, he says to him, Hincha meis al haisha, Hincha you. You're going to die in the Isha, Asher lakachta, and the woman that you took, namely Sarah, Vahu bolas baal. She's already married. So look at the Gemara now again. Eisve Ravel of Chista, Hincha Meis, you're going to die. Ahaisha Shelakachta, my love, be the Adam. Does it not refer to be the Adam? So what's the Shaila here? Look at Rashi. Rashi explains, my love, be the Adam, around 10 lines up from the bottom. Bidine b'nei Noach, that he has to be killed, Avimelech, because he took a married woman. Bizeh Omer Mutter Haya, Kisavar Achos Avram. He's Omer Mutter. He thought what he was doing was permitted, because Avram told him that Sarah was his sister. So she's a single old lady. He did nothing wrong. That's Omer Mutter. So we see from here that Omer Mutter, you're Chayiv Misa. So Omer Mutter is really Karov Lemezid, which is in support of Rava. So Gemara says, Lo, Bidei Shemaim. We're not saying that he's Chayiv Misa Bidei Adam. He's Pater. Onus, Omer Mutter is actually Onus, you're completely Pater Bidei Adam. He's Chayiv on a Dina Shemaim level. That's a different story, a whole other discussion. And Dekanami, and the Pasuk is quite exact. The Pasuk says, Mechatoli. Right, the Pasuk goes on to say, I'll read the Pasuk on the side here. So Hashem says to Avimelech in the dream, I also know, I know you're very pure-hearted, you didn't really have any bad intentions here. He says, I hid this from you, you didn't know she was married. You didn't really sin to me. So it says, you didn't sin to me. So Mechatoli, it's between me and you right now. Bidei Adam, no, you did nothing wrong at all. This whole discussion here is between me and you. So you see this whole, it's a Bidei Shemaim issue. So Gemara says, wait a second. Can you make such a dig about Machatoli Ulatamech according to this Svara, Machatasi Lelokim? Lelokim Lola Adam? So this pasuk, look on the side here, what it's referring to here, this is with Ashes Potiphar and Yosef. It says, Einini Gadol Babayis Hazem, Mimeni, Yosef says to her, I'm the greatest person in the house of your husband. Lo Chasach Mimeni Muma, Kim Osach, the only thing I can't touch is you. Bashir Atisha, you're his wife. How could I do such a thing and curse and then sin to Hashem? So does this mean it's only a sin to Hashem, but it's not a sin to Adam? It's not a sin to your husband? Of course it's a sin to a husband. So, therefore, you can't make such a diuk that it's dafka bidei shemayim. Ella dino masal adam hachanami dino masal adam. So just like the case of Yosef, even though he says Elokim, it's a dine adam, so too the case of Avimelech and Sarah is also considered dine adam. And either way, it's not muchach to say whether this case is of a Omer Mutter is going to be chayv karla mezid or not. There's no conclusion from this brisa.
Isn't it a little strange to call it Omer Mutter? Usually Omer Mutter is very negligent. The person thinks it's not allowed. But here Avram told him that
yep. In Echanami, this next brisa might even clarify that a little bit further. Let's see. The Gemara asks now, Esvi Abai the Rava. Abai asks the Rava this the other direction now. He says, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog. So he says, Avimelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll read this pasuk to have the entire pasuk read to you. Avimelech lo karav elah. And now Avimelech didn't come closer. Vayomer Hashem Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog. Are you going to kill Tzadik? I did nothing wrong. So what we see from here is that what? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, six lines up, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarog, Kasaka Daitach, Shehodu Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. Alma Anasu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed that you did nothing wrong. So Hashem said to him initially that I understand Betam Levavecha, that you're very, you're innocent here. So you're now that I'm innocent, now that I'm a Tzadik, I'm innocent, are you going to go ahead and kill me? So we clearly see that Ones, Omer Mutter rather, is completely honest, and there's no Chiyamisa. So that's how Bai is proving his point that Omer Mutter is honest. So Gemara says, Hasam k'dekam mahadre alave. What he responded back to him. So let's see. Rashi explains, last Rashi in the Amud here. K'dekam mahadre alave lo hode ledvarv. He wasn't agreeing to his words. Shehishu lo tshuva shechayev misa sheinu tzadik bedavar sheyolo lilmo derech eretz k'mifar shvazu. Akash Baruch Hu wasn't agreeing. Karsh Baruch Hu didn't agree to him that he was a tzaddik. The whole conversation that he had when Avram and Sarah came in the first place indicated what his true intentions were. It wasn't Avram said he was my sister. Something got him, Avram, to say that she's my sister. Why? So let's look. So Hashem says, return this married woman because her husband's a Navi. So Gemara asks the question on Amud Beis, Aisha's Navi, who did Tadir? Delav Navi lo Tadir? You should only return a married woman if she's married to a Navi? But if she weren't married to a Navi, you could keep her? Of course not. It doesn't make a difference who the husband is. If she's married, she's also. So what's the relevance of a Navi? Ella, Kedamar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani. This is going to answer the question. Kedamar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonas on Halchi Kamarle. Then he says, Hashem says to Avimelech as follows, Va'ata hashev eish is a ha'ish mikol makum. Return a married woman regardless of who her husband is. That's the cloud. Udekamar, so that which you said to me, Agoy gam tzadik tarog, are you going to kill me? I'm a tzadik. How are you going to kill me? Halu who Omer lo achosi he didn't. This is what your time is. Didn't Avram told him she was his sister, so he had every right to take her. So he says no. Navi who he's a Navi. He understands. Umim chalamed achsanai who shebalayir al iske achila shesiyah shalonaso klum shalonaso ishechazu achoscha zu. When you go to a city and the host says, they ask you, you want something to eat, something to drink? They ask you, who's the lady? Is she your wife? Is she your sister? So no. Mikan sheben nara noach, nerag shehel alum over lelamed. Lamad. Meaning he understood from the question that you were asking Avram about the status of this lady, that, and he was a Navi, you understood, he was able to read your mind, that you had other intentions here. So even if you said that, if that she was my wife, you probably would have killed Avram. So he had to protect himself, so he had to lie to protect himself and his wife. So only for that reason was he wasn't really at fault. Rather, he was at fault because of the line of questioning. And again, the Gemara concludes before the Mishnah, Mikan shek ben noach nerag, shahaya lo lum over lo lamad. He should have learned, and he didn't learn. He didn't know how to have proper derech eretz. And the fact that he didn't have proper derech eretz almost caused him to die for doing this thing.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Exactly. Okay, so the Mishnah now says, Hasuma eino gola omer gola. There's a machlokas whether someone who's blind gets galus or doesn't get galus. So Gemara will explain why. Hasone eino gola, Rabbi Yosi omer hasone nerag, mipneishu kumuat. A person who's an enemy, who happens to kill someone accidentally, he's his enemy, so according to the Tanakhama is, if it's Beshogeg, it's Beshogeg, I don't care their relationship. But Rabbi Yosi says, no, hasone, he's considered a muad, says Rashi in the top line here, mipneishu kumuat, kimusra olav, he's already warned, even though he wasn't actually warned, the over al hasra, and he violated this phantom hasra, divadai ladas hargu. It's so much raglan ladavar. It's just so, it's not likely, it's not, it doesn't happen so often that a person kills Beshogeg. Is it so coincidental that this Sone killed another Sone person he hated? Very unlikely. So therefore, putting all the pieces together, he probably made it look like he was just doing it accidentally, but we think it was really done intentionally, and he would get killed even without an actual Hasra, according to Rabbi Yosi. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Sone Gola, Vyesh Sone Enogola. There's no rule. Depends. Some types of enemies do get galus, and other types of enemies don't get galus. It all depends on the circumstances. So the Mishnah says, Zaklal, Kol Shu Yachal Omer Ladas Harag, Enogola. Shelod Ladas Harag, Harez Gola. If there's any case where you could claim it was done, Bidas, there was some intention there, so then we're going to assume, we're going to tip the scale. For the Sone, let's say it's a case that there's two ways to interpret the situation. If there's at least one direction can be said he did this intentionally, then we're going to tip the scale for the Sone. He might most likely did it on purpose. But there's a scenario where there's only one way to view the case, that it was definitely done shlola das, so then the Sone will get off the hook. So we don't really have any concrete examples here, but that's at least the principle laid out by the Mishnah. So the Gemara explains, what's a machlokas whether or not a Suma can ever get gullus or not get gullus? Because the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tanur Rabbanan. Below Raos, the pasuk says, if you can't see, prat l'suma. So the situation where the person was turning the corner, I think we learned elsewhere, he didn't see the guy and accidentally killed him. But it's talking about, he was in theory able to see, he just didn't see that situation. Prat l'suma, who was never able to see, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's why he's off the hook. Gzer sakasiv, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, below Raos is Larabos is a Summa. No, those words actually come to include that a Summa does get Gullus. Very strange limud. Below Raos sounds like a Summa should not get Gullus. My time at Rabbi Yehuda. What was the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? So, Dechsiv Asher Yavo Esra'eu Biyar. If you go with your friend into the forest together, Afilu Summa doesn't describe which type of friend. All Jews come together in the forest. So, even a Summa would be subject to the halachas of Gullus. So Asa comes the word Belaros, Mate comes to exclude only a person who didn't see in that case, but generally can see, to the exclusion of a Summa who can never see. That's how Rabbi Yehuda understands the pasuk. But Rabbi Meir says, no, Belaros is coming Lemait, Bivlidas is Lemait. The two words that are excluding words that are coming consecutive in the pasukim, and there's a concept called Havi Mit Acher Mit. One exclusionary word or phrase after another exclusionary phrase, ein miyut achamit ela l'rabos, the klal is two negatives make a positive, let's say. So therefore, we're including a summa in this case. That's Rabbi Meir's understanding. Rabbi Huda bivlidas biprat l'miskaven hudasa. No, bivlidas comes for a completely different type of limud, excluding a person who is miskaven, doesn't get galus, and said he would get misa if proper edim and hasra. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi Omer Asone Nerag, that a enemy does get killed, even for Shogeg, v'halo Asrabe. But how can that be? There's no case of Asra. We know the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin many places that before giving Misa, you need Edim, and you also need a Hasra. We saw this earlier in one of the Mishnayos. So there's no Asra given here. So this is the opinion of Masnisin is Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda. He disani Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer Chaver Eino Tzar Hasra. A chaver, meaning a learned person, doesn't require Hasra. The fi shelo nisna hatara Hasra el lahavchin bein shogig lemezid. We saw this already earlier, that the only point of Hasra is for Bezdin to know whether or not the person acted b'shogig or b'mezid. How do you know what the guy's intention was? The only way to know is if he's warned beforehand and did it anyways, that tells us that was done b'mezid. If he wasn't, there's no Hasra, there's no way to distinguish. But a person who's a chaver, who's a Talmud Chacham, and he shoots a guy in the head, so obviously he knows what the halach is, he doesn't need a Hasra, we know that was certainly done b'mezid. That's the Das Yachid, the Shita Yachid of Rabbi Yossi Ber Yehuda. Barnell says, Rabbi Shimon Omer Yesh Sone Gole. So Rabbi Shimon said, there's some types of enemies that do get gullus, and other types of enemies that don't get gullus. And he had this clout. So Gemara wants to know, Tanya Ketzad Amar Rabbi Shimon Yesh Sone Gole V'yesh Sone Sheino Gole. How does he know? So Gemara gives an example. Nifsak Gole Nishmat Eino Gole. So what's a Nifsak? It snaps, referring to, let's see, Rashi says, you look at Rashi towards the top, around eight narrow lines down, says Nifsak, last word on the line, Hachevel V'nafal Alav Ein Lomer Ba Ladaze. Your guy is climbing up the ladder, he's pulling up, let's say, a pail, and the rope snaps. That's completely unintentional. There's no way to think he planned on having that rope, you know, start wearing down and just snap it. So that's something he doesn't get gullus on. But Nishmat, if it's released from his hand, he drops the heavy pail. That's Raglan the Dover. Is it so coincidental that guy, Sony, was walking below him, he dropped it? No one drops their pail. So that tells us, therefore, he probably did it on purpose, and he doesn't get gullus. He needs a more severe punishment than gullus, namely Misa, if there are Edom and Hasra. Gemara says, V'atanya, the Bezin of Brisa tell us in the Kashia, it says, Rabbi Shimon Omer Liolam Eino Gola Ach Yishmat Mechatzalo Miado. He doesn't get gullus until it drops out of his hands. So there's a double problem here. One problem is Kashia Nifsaka Nifsak Kashia Nishmat Nishmat, meaning what? This Brisa says you only get gullus when it slips out of your hand. But before we said when it slips out of your hand, you don't get gullus. And before we said when it snaps is when you do get gullus. And this price seems to indicate you only get gullus when it slips out, but when it snaps, you don't get gullus. So again, just to be clear, there's a stira whether or not snapping results in gullus or not, and whether slipping out of your hand results in gullus or not. So Gemara explains, lo kashya, ha, be, nifsak, a nifsak lo kashya. When it snaps, it's not kashya. There's two different scenarios, ha ba'ohev, ha besone. If it snaps for someone who you like, so then unlikely it was done on purpose, so one would not get gullus. But if it's someone who is an enemy of yours, so then even by snapping, there seems to be indication that he should get gullus for that. And no, other way around, he probably shouldn't get gullus. Let's look at Rashi. There's a long Rashi here. Okay, let's just try to pull out the lines here. Right. If it snaps, so we'll read Rashi. I won't read Rashi. So if it snaps again, so the one's going to get gullus, even by the... Well, this is very confusing. There's a lot of different gesalas in Rashi here. This is not pashut. Okay. So either way, let's just say as clear as possible. I'm going to just use the Masifta just so you have one clear answer here. Let's find the line here. Here we go. So it comes to the gersa that we really have in the Masifta is Nishmat and Nishmat is not really a kasha here. The steer between the two different brisas is because one case is be'ohev. Someone who, a friend is walking by and you kill him accidentally, he gets gullus. We think that was done accidentally. Who would ever drop a pail below him? But the case of sone and it slips out, so then we think he did this on purpose, then he should not get gullus. He should be killed. The nifsak versus nifsak is not kasha either. Lo kasha harebi harabanan. Let's see. So rebi above that says if the Barzel, the blade, came out of the hands of the wood, and he killed someone, he says there's no gullus in that case. So too, if it snapped out, the rope snapped, one wouldn't get gullus. But the other case where it says snapping would result in gullus, that's Rabbanan who holds if the blade snaps out of the handle, it will result in gullus. So again, that same machlokus we had earlier. Again, Nishmat, I'll say it outside. If a guy dropped something out of his hand, and he killed someone, it depends who that person was. If it was an ohev, we assume it's accidental, he gets gullus. If it was a sone, we assume that was on purpose that he dropped it out, and he wouldn't get gullus, he needs a more severe punishment. Now the case of it snapping out, we always assume it was unintentional. There's no way a guy could plan that the rope will snap. So then we compare it to that earlier mission we had on Daf Zayim, when the guy was busy axing, he was hitting the tree. So this machlok is how to read the pasuk there. So when the blade slips, flies off the handle, that's where they're comparing to this to the pail snapping off the rope. So what are we passing like there? Rebbe felt that if the blade snaps off the handle, that would not result in gullus. So to hear also, when it snaps, it wouldn't result in gullus. Rabban felt that when you're hitting the tree and the blade comes flying off, it would result in gullus. So to hear, when the pail snaps, that would also result in gullus. Okay, new mission now. Mishnah says, Laheichan Golan. So where do we send these rotchim to Galus? So the Mishnah explains as follows: La'ari Mikla, we send them to the Ari Mikla, these safe havens, L'shalosh Shebeva Hayarden, L'shalosh Eretz Kanan. There's really a total of 48. There's 6 Ari Mikla. There's these 3 that are on each side, 3 in Eretz Yisrael, and 3 are in the Eva Hayarden. And then there's another 42 which are called Ari Migrash, which are cities of Levim, and the Gemara is going to say, if I remember correctly, there are 2 nafka means between Ari Miklat and Ari Migrash. The Gemara will say, but one of them I recall is that if you stumble upon Ari Miklat, if one of these people running away stumbles upon Ari Miklat of the 6, he's going to be protected, even though he's not aware that they serve as Ari Miklat. Ari Migrash only protect him if he's aware that they are Ari Migrash. If he doesn't know about it, he's actually not protected. How do you know whether he knows? He doesn't know? Not sure. There's a second nafka mina, but I'm not remembering what it is. What?
3 more cities, 9.
With Lasid Lava.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm? But right now, we're talking about 48. We're talking about 6 and 42. So what's the other Nafka Mina though? Okay, I hope we'll see it in the Gemara. So either way, the Gemara says L'shalosh Shebeva Yarden, L'shalosh Be'eretz Kanan. 3 on this side, 3 on that side. Shenamar, the pasuk says, Eshlosh Arim Tinu Mevel Yarden. So it says to Moshe Benu, you should give 3, set aside 3 cities on that side of the Yarden, because he's not crossing into Eretz Kanan, as we know. Veshlosh Arim Tinu Be'eretz Kanan, and there's going to be 3 that will be in Eretz Yisrael. Ad Shelo Nifchu Shlosh Be'eretz Yisrael, Allah Yishlosh Shebeva Yarden, Koltos. Now, even though Moshe Benu had designated these 3 cities in Eretz Yarden, they would not take effect until the other 3 in Eretz Kanan were set aside as well. So they were located, but they weren't effective yet until all 6 had been registered, and then they're going to all work. Shenamar, as it says, Shesh Ari Mikla, the 6 have to work together. Tihiena, Adshiu Sheshten Koltan Kachas, until all 6 of them provide that protection. So even though they were appointed, it took a number of years until it actually worked. Umechavnos Lun Drachem Mizulazu, and there should be highways that are set to go from one city to the next city. Shenamar, as it says, Tachin Lecha Derech Ushloshes V'Gomer. You should prepare a derech to get to the cities. They should know where to go. There should be directions and signs this way to Ari Mikla, this way to Ari Mikla. Umosin Lehen Shnei Tamidi Chachamim. And as the Ratzeach B'Shogeg is fleeing to one of these cities, he should be accompanied by 2 Tamidi Chachamim, Shema Yargenu B'Derech V'Dabru Lov. Perhaps one of the Golol Hadam is going to come chase after the Rotech and want to kill him. And the Talmud Chacham hopefully will be there and say, no, really shouldn't hurt him, you might be allowed to. We'll get to later on whether there's a mitzvah or not, or maybe there's a heter, or it might even be an iser. But when the Golol Hadam tries to kill the Rotech, the Talmud Chacham is there, the 2 Talmud Chacham are there, to try to deter him from killing the Rotech B'Shogeg. Rabbi Meir Omer, Afu Medaber Al Yedei Atzmo. Now the Rotech also has to speak for himself and protect himself. As it says in the pasuk, "V'zed dvar rotzeach." There's a certain word that a rotzeach has to speak. There's a certain conversation that he's supposed to say to protect himself. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer b'tchila, ech initially echad shogeg ve'echad mezid makdim l'ar mikla. Initially, whoever killed, they'd send all the murderers to the ar mikla to just be protected there. And based in Shulchan Umavin also Misham, Mishin Shai Misa Bebezin Hargu. And now when it's time to kill whoever was convicted as a murderer Bemezin, they'd bring him back to the Bezin and kill him there. Ushalon is Chai Misa, and those who were not Chai Misa, Patur were let off. They were protected to go back to the Ari Mikla. Mishin is Chai, those who were not Chai at all, rather, they'd be Patur. And then Mishin is Chai Golas, Machzir no Salam Komo. Those who were Chai Golas are sent back to the Ari Mikla. Shenamar, as it says, Veshivo so ha'eda el ir maklata. They'd send him back to the Ari Miklat.
Isn't it double punishment? Even for a short time, it's still double punishment.
Well, I don't think the Ari, at that point for the guy Mazid, it's not a punishment. It's actually serving to protect him. Otherwise, he'd be roaming the streets in his house, and they know where he lives.
Right, but at least he's free until he has to be killed. But he has to stay in the city, and he's getting
right. So again, that's a question in general when it comes to Gullus. Is Gullus viewed as a safe haven, or is it viewed as a punishment? That's always you're going to find the machlokas. So clearly, here it's being viewed as a hatsala. Now, if he decides he doesn't want the hatsala, so he's not obligated to go because it's not really a punishment. So just really to protect himself, I would imagine. If he wants to opt out, he can. Gemara now says, Tanur Rabbanan, Shalosh Arim Hivdil Moshe Be'Evar Yarden, Ukenegdin Hivdil Yeshua Be'Eretz Kanan. Moshe Benu set aside three in Eva Yarden, and Yeshua set aside three parallel ones in Eretz Kanan, Umechavnos Hayu Kimin Shte Shiros Shivakarim, and they were equal to each other, they're parallel to each other, like two rows in the vineyard. And Chevron B'Yehuda, Chevron that was in the area of Yehuda, was connected Batzer B'Midbar. And Shechem, that was found in Bihar Ephraim, that was connected Ramos Shebegilad. And Kadesh Bihar Naphtali was connected Golan Bebashan. So we have the three cities on the left were parallel to the three cities on the right, as it says in the Pasuk, Vishilashta, and you should have it divided in three ways. Sheyehu Mishulashan, they should be really evenly one-third, one-third, one-third. Sheyehei Midarom Lechevron Kechevron Lishchem, that distance from the south to Chevron should be like the distance of Chevron to Shechem. And Mechevron Lishchem should be Kechem Lekadesh. And Mishchem Lekadesh should be Kechem Lekadesh. So actually, it should be broken up evenly, one third, one third, one third. So the Gemara asks a question, we'll just go a little bit further to the top of Daf Yud. Beva Yarden Tlas. Is it really true that they're only, and Beretz Yisrael Tlas, were the only three in Yarden and only three in Eretz Yisrael? Weren't there? There were a lot less in terms of the numbers. Let's look at Rashi for a second. Was that Rashi? Is that Rashi here? Right. Look at you see Rashi the last line here. Beva Yarden Tlas Betamia Benachlas Shnei Shvatim Shalosh Kmo Benachlas Esim Asar Shvatim. Doesn't make sense. The ratio doesn't make sense. You have 10 Shvatim living in Eretz Yisrael, and all you need is 3. So why do you have 3 for 2 Shvatim in Eva Yarden? Were they much more violent in Eva Yarden that they needed so many more Ari Miklat to protect those 2 Shvatim? So the Gemara says, Amar Bai, Begilad Shchichi Rotzchim, Enechanami, yes, in Gilad, they were very, very, very aggressive, and they were wild there, and they were more murderous. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Gilad Kiryas Poli Oven, Akuba Medam. Akuba Medam, what does it mean, my Akuba Medam? Amar Rebelaza, Shayu Okvin, Larog Nefashos. Okvin is Lashon of, they would always ambush and try to hide, to kill people. And that's the nature of people living in Gilad, they'd kill people. So for that reason, Eva Yarden was a place of murderers, and that's why there were 3 Ari Miklat, even though they were only 2 Shvatim. Okay.
Gilad was step. One place. Right?
Was
one of the 3.
Right, so I guess that was enough to affect the entire section, maybe. The entire Eva Yarden.